shuffle out of the shadows and find that eventually there we are, what we are, and what we are is still family.
It's Monday. That means it's time to talk about family on The Takeaway. And does anyone recognize this particular home scene?
This is disgusting. If you don't like it, then don't eat it.
I don't even know what the hell it is.
It's spaghetti with Thousand Island dressing.
God, that is so gross! Well, maybe if you hadn't dumped the laundry and the vacuuming on me, I would have had time to plan a more exciting menu.
Hey, I have been running around all day, picking DJ up from school, taking him to get shoes, going to the supermarket. And when I get home, I expect a decent meal on the table.
Okay, so maybe it's not as extreme as it is in Roseanne's home, where they're vacuuming, cleaning, and making spaghetti with Thousand Island dressing. But joining us now is a Takeaway contributor, Lisa Belkin, who writes the parenting and family blog Motherload for our partner, the New York Times. It may not be that extreme, Lisa, but it does look like kids are doing more of a larger percentage of the chores around the house, right?
Yeah, a really interesting study. For years, people have been telling us, you know, parents are working longer, both parents are working. Women are still doing the same ratio of housework to men, and yet things sort of seem to be getting done. And at Montclair State University, they found a wrinkle in the data, which says that, yeah, who's doing more of the work at home? It's the kids. Kids have more chores.
It's almost as though the parents lost their jobs, came home, saw that the house was a mess, and said, kids, get to work.
Well, a la Roseanne, maybe. I find it interesting that the more a father works, for every hour a father works, a child does statistically 2 minutes more in chores a week.
Huh.
And the more a mother works, though, there's no change.
They stay the same.
They stay the same. So it's still the skewed ratio between men and women.
Meaning,
women still,
of course,
do two times as much as men. And now,
right,
when the men need to work more, it's the kids who are taking up the slack.
This isn't the only thing that they found in this though. And to talk about the second part of that study, we have Bob Elston.
The thing that's giving you hives.
Yeah, exactly. Bob Elston is a father of 4 kids, all under the age of 12. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
You have 3 boys and 1 girl, and the part of this that, as I said, gives me a rash is the part where it says that girls do more chores than boys and get paid less for it. So tell us, you have 3 boys and 1 girl, all under the age of 12. Explain to us, in your household, how do the chores stack up?
Well, I don't think that there's any reason why my daughter would do any more than her brothers. I mean, our vacuum cleaner doesn't really care if it's a boy's hand on the handle or a girl's handle.
You got one of those.
Pushing the thing around. Yeah.
and you pay them all equally.
Pay them all equally. Well, I wouldn't want to hear it from her if I paid them unequally and then had to explain to her why she was getting less.
And yet, Lisa Belkin, we have this showing that girls do 73% of 0.3% of the girls say they have assigned chores. Only 65% of boys say they do, and the girls get paid less, right, Lisa?
Right. They are 15% less likely to be paid. I don't know that we have numbers on exactly what the going rate is per chore in the United States right now, but they are 15% less likely to be paid. And the kind of chores they're doing seem to base on gender lines.
What do you mean?
After all these years of telling boys and girls that they were the same, the boys are still mowing the lawn and the girls are still doing the dishes, by broad generalization, not in any necessarily given household. But that's what they're reporting when researchers ask them.
Is there any data of how this happens within families where there are girls and boys? I mean, does this disparity sort of work publicly within a family without, like, exploding it?
Not the data that we see or have in front of us. What is interesting is that kids notice unfairness. A lot of these numbers came from a Highlights for Children study. And what the researchers there noted was, okay, we get 60,000 letters here at Highlights every year from kids, and a good number of them are complaining about unfairness.
Well, you heard,
when they see it, they recognize it.
You heard Bob say that his daughter would kick up a fuss if he treated his sons differently than he treated daughter, right? That's what you said?
Yeah, right. I mean, if you treat your kids unfairly, I'm sure they're going to notice. And then you actually have to come up with a reason why you're doing it, and then you're on a slippery slope that I wouldn't want to be on.
But your daughter has an extra way to make money. She also babysits, right? Is she the oldest?
She's 10 years old. She's in the middle. I pay my kids, or I give my kids an allowance of $5 a week, but my daughter has the potential to make more by babysitting her little 2-year-old brother so that I can take the 11-year-old and the 8-year-old to football practice. But then the roles are reversed, and one of the brothers has to babysit their little brother so that I can take my daughter to soccer practice.
And
so,
does he get paid for that, too?
Uh-huh, sure.
Okay. So, Lisa, you know, I found it interesting. There was a comment from a sociologist in the article about this study saying, you know, we thought this would all even out, that as a generation or two of women got into jobs and started taking management positions even in their work, that all of these disparities at home would disappear.
Yeah, we thought the disparities between the adults would disappear too. And interestingly, they're remarkably sticky.
The same.
They have not. We have the same ratio of work at home between men and women that we had 50 years ago. The amount of housework women do is the same compared to the amount of housework men do as 50 years ago. Now, everyone's doing less, but in proportion, that hasn't changed.
So what do we do? I mean, obviously, these exact same disparities that men and women are finding as adults in both their workplace and at home, they're passing on to their children.
Yeah, what do we do?
Is that because women don't mind?
I don't think it's that women don't mind. I think it's that none of us think about it. And I think that that's the answer, is think about it. If you are automatically telling your daughter to wash the dishes and sending your son out to mow the lawn, then you're doing it without thinking. And, well, he's stronger. He can push it better. And, you know, she's standing here, so she can wash the dishes. Yep. And yet you're setting an example. You're creating a trend.
Bob, do you deliberately decide to split the chores between genders on mowing the lawn versus babysitting?
No, I think we probably divide up our chores more based on age. You know, we start them early with chores, and as they get better and more mature, they can do heavier work. So that's how we split it up.
Okay, well, John, do your kids do chores?
Of course, tons of
chores. You're opposite of Bob. You have one boy and three girls.
You know, if I say whether it's fair or not in my home, I'm going to get like an earful when I get home today. I'm going to take some data and I'll get back to you. Okay, Lisa?
John's children on the phone.
I was about to talk about when I was growing up and realized, wait a second, my mother's out there.
Lisa Belkin is a takeaway contributor, author of the Family and Parenting blog Motherload, and our partner, the New York Times. And Bob Elston is a father of four kids in Virginia. Thanks so much to both of you. And we, of course, want to hear from our listeners, too, at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytakeofthetakeaway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.